knows that this part of the service is quite lively. I thought somebody was going to maybe cut a step up here. I wasn't sure. I have to tell her that. We got close. We didn't quite go over, but we got close. But it's good to be here. And I mean that, as I said, very seriously. I am a missionary of the church, and we get support from the church, and we are very, very grateful. Trust me, we are very grateful. We know that church support means more than just a gift, but often prayers, lots of prayers come with that. And we try to keep you posted on what we're doing and so on. But let me just say, by way of an introduction to our ministry, my ministry started out with college students. We've been ministering for almost 60 years. Left here in the late 60s to go into the military, and then we went into ministry. We believe that the church is foundational to not only reaching people, but also discipling them. So more recently, our ministry has been to pastors and churches. And so we talk to church leaders, we talk to pastors, we talk to elders. We have contact in the Caribbean, for which we are very excited about, and Bermuda, Bahamas, Antigua, and Jamaica. And so some of these people are brethren, some of them are not. Amen? Is that okay? It's got to be okay, because there's a need for people to understand what the purpose of the church is. And the purpose of the church, as I recall in Scripture, is to go therefore and make disciples. Right? Not just make members, but disciples. And so my approach, and you'll get that this morning. Those of you who were here yesterday got some of that yesterday. My message is generally to those who are trying to grow in Christ or don't know Christ. And so I have found, and many of us who are out on the field have found, that we've got to make sure we are talking the language that people can understand. If I went to Puerto Rico, I could be as eloquent and as knowledgeable as I can. But if I don't speak Spanish, trust me, people will be polite. They will be polite, but they don't have a clue of what I'm talking about. And what we have found, when you go out on Malcolm X or Fulton Street or around Atlantic Avenue, wherever you go, there is a language that people are in need of understanding. They want to know, is your religion going to change anything? And they're starting with themselves. And so our message has to be in the language of answering questions, helping people to understand the difference between Christianese and English. And so we try to strip ourselves of a lot of the words that in here we would understand, but out there they wouldn't have a clue. Now understand, they will be polite, but they don't have a clue as to what we're talking about. And so my message then is very much tailored toward answering heart needs. Does that make sense? I can talk up here, and I can do that with you all, but down here, people want to know, how do you make sense to who I am? And where I'm going, and my family needs, and my joblessness, my hurt, and my pain. So much of what my message is to those that I run into, those that I bump into, both in my, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, in the city of Atlanta, and been down there for over 50 years. That's a long time. I have gray hair now. And so my neighbors, those that I bump into in terms of the associations that we're in, we try to make sense out of a gospel that will change your life. And they don't believe it. But then when you live it with them and you walk with them, they begin to ask you questions. And so we try to keep the message on that point. That said, let me have a word of prayer and share with you what the Lord has given this morning. Okay? Father in heaven, thank you so much for these, your people, and Lord, the many people that they touch in any given week or month or year. Thank you, Lord, for those who walk the streets that we have opportunity to touch in many ways. Thank you for our neighbors, our family. Some of them may not come here, but they'll come to our homes. So I pray that you would teach us how to share our lives with people. And by your grace, those persons may get a word from you and find our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. One other thing I want to say is, how are you, my brother Cato? Brother Cato is my friend from way, way, way back. And we have an idea that Brother Cato was one of those original missionaries. You know, we used to talk about you all the time because you would preach on the train. And we thought that was cool, you know, coming up. Amen. Amen. In the next few moments, I would like to talk to you about a subject having to do with life as it is. And my subject for today is fruitfulness in dry places. Fruitfulness in dry places. Often when we think of dry places, we think of desert. We think of maybe the Mojave Desert or maybe the Sahara Desert. And we often think that there is nothing that will grow in a desert. But that's not true. There are plants like cacti that grow in a desert. There are animals of some kind and bugs that grow in deserts. But what God would have us to understand, even through nature, that there are dry places that bear fruit. Let me put this on a spiritual context. God has ordained, like it or not, that every believer will go through a dry place, a difficult place, a place that might be of distress, a place that might be of disappointment and frustration. And what begins to happen in that, or what could happen in that dry place, is you feel like you want to give up. You feel like there is nothing that I need to say to God right about now because he's not saying anything to me. That's a feeling, not a fact. And so what it is that God promises, that when we go through relationships that go bad and circumstances that go bad, that there is fruitfulness to happen. There is some kind of a life that can come out of these very, very difficult places. I could get emotional given this kind of message, because in the years that I've been on the planet, it seems like I have had, my wife and I and my family have had an overdue experience of dry places, difficulties, pain. And I know the places where I was really feeling like being under a rock. And then I have to remember the scripture is full of folk who have had difficulty and pain, and yet there has been fruitfulness through that difficulty and pain. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. And that's good news. Some of you know, and I really believe every one of you knows, Romans 8:28. We know, and we know, I'm reading from the New International Version. By the way, the text for those who are in the booth are Acts chapter 8, 1 through 5, and 26 through 31. But God says, through Paul, all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Everything. If I really capture the truth about that, then I'll look at my dry places a bit different. I will be able to handle, by God's grace, as they say in the psalmist says, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, not living in the valley of shadow of death, not stopping in the valley of the shadow of death, not crying the blues about the shadow of death, not asking God, why me? In one of our difficulties, my wife was complaining to a woman about why did we have to suffer so much? And this woman was up for the occasion. She says, why not you? Why not you? Could God trust you with a difficult frustration, a pain that he knows that you will call on him and he will bring you through? Could he trust you with that? That's what I heard when my wife told me what this woman said. She believes that we can be trusted and wasn't afraid to tell us that. I don't think we wanted to hear that. But as God began to work his work in us, we discovered fruitfulness in the dry places where we were. And so I want to take a look at a text that I believe is familiar to you. It's always good talking to people who know the word. Say amen. 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 Acts chapter 8. Turn to Acts chapter 8. And we'll read a few verses, and I want to leave you with three lessons that I get out of this. Three lessons. The whole of Acts chapter 8, coming out of Acts chapter 7, describes the church and the apostles at a very, very painful time. The saints were grieving, but God made them fruitful. They're just coming out of Acts chapter 7, where Stephen was stoned to death. And then on top of their grief for Stephen, Paul is introduced around that time as Saul, and he then and begins to persecute the believers. Now, we know what happened. God blessed them and God used them as they spread out. But I am here to tell you this morning that I believe in their humanity, there must have been those who said, why us? Why is it that we have to go through these difficult, painful experiences? And God says, all things work together for good. Let me just read a few verses here and we'll get to our points. Starting in chapter 1, I'm reading from the New International Version. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. A tough time for the church at that time. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Two things happened at this difficult period, this painful period. Some of the people of God scattered, and others of them went to jail. Some of them scattered. They just got away. And others of them were put in jail. I have been in too many jails too much in my life. I've seen, I've heard, I've experienced the pain of being locked up. And I have no doubt that these believers were at a point of asking, why me? There might have been those that said, could I get out of this place? And if so, Lord, if I can get out of here, I'll praise you. We don't have a record of them getting out at any point, but we do know that they were scattered and they went south. Verse 4, those who were scattered preached the word wherever they went. How about that? What do you think they preached about? I think they gave the gospel. But do you think they might have hung some stuff on what they went through? Do you think they would have said something like, this is the verse I have. Maybe they knew Job, Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet I hope in him. I think for those who were sharing the word of God, they were trying to get through this dry place, this place that could have taken them under. And they're saying to those that they run into, that they were bumping into in Samaria and Judea, he says, I got something to tell you. God may allow for some dry periods, but, and these are testimonies. I love testimonies because they're real life. They're real life. But they were saying that God was able to release me, and I've got a message for you. Now, let me tell you something about the lost. A lot of lost people around here, and there may be some in here. A lot of people around. There are far more people who are broken than those who have got it together. You'll never run out of people to talk to when you talk about the word. You never run out of people when you talk about how I've been slain, but somehow God has given me the wherewithal and the strength to continue through and to walk through this valley of the shadow of death. People are searching to find out, how did you make it? How are you coming along? I know something, especially our neighbors. We find that our neighbors know everything about us. They know because we see them all the time. And we fall in love with our neighbors because they are there and we get to talk to them. And they ask questions and we are obligated, I feel, to answer. That somehow, my God saw me in a dry place, working through all the pain that he thinks I can handle. And then he brings me out. He pulls me out. And I am here to tell you, this stuff works. And now, this is south, down south. Everybody's, you know, kind of religious. And they kind of want you to think that they're okay. So they don't argue that much. But they'll just listen. And I like people to ask questions. I like people to listen. I like to get in dialogue with them because I want them to see me and who I am. We invite them into our home and they wonder, how did you make it? Philip went down in verse 5. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytic and cripples were healed. And listen to what verse 8 says. So there was a great joy in the city. I want you to compare. You can go home and do this kind of work and think about it, but let me just give you the introduction that you can work on. Compare what happened in Jerusalem to what happened in Samaria. Compare what must have happened inside of Philip to say, I just left a place where all hell was breaking loose. And here it is, I took that pain and God turned that into joy, and I have passed that joy on to you. Come on, somebody. That's a message. Brother Trevor says it's God is in control of who's going to win this thing. Yes. Of course, we got to do some stuff, right? Prepare for what may be a difficult time. But understand, God gives these dry places so that you can blossom in fruitfulness. Because you've got hope. Amen? Now, brethren, no Bible, right? You know this is not, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up. So you want to sing it, right? Amen. I want to give you three lessons from this text. Let me give you three lessons. The big picture is that pain and hardship bring out what God wants to come out so that we can be fruitful in those dry places. That's the big picture. I wish it wasn't true. I wish when I lead somebody to Christ or you give your testimony to somebody, you could say, if you get saved, God will deliver you from all of your issues. I wish that could be true. But I've got three lessons that I picked up from this text. Here's the first one. Preach through your pain. Do not wait for everything to come together. I have some bad news for you. It'll always be tough. Learn to make a testimony out of your difficulty. Don't be afraid not to share your pain. People want to know, are you real? Have you been through what I've been through? They want to know, can you tell me that your God cares for you? This is what I think Philip preached. 1 Peter 4:12. He says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed that you may be overjoyed, that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. I believe that's going to happen in heaven, but I also believe it's going to happen here. I believe God is going to give us a taste of what happens when we go through these pains, and yet the beauty of God's fruit is that somehow out of that comes love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The fruit that comes from our pain. So preach through your pain. The second one is, keep listening for his leading. Verse 26 says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go down the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" He could have said, "Lord, I've already done what you've asked me to do in Judea and Samaria." And we could end the text with that, and we could feel good about what God is doing. But he is saying, keep your ear to the wheat, to the ground, because I've got more for you than you could ever imagine. What do you think Philip might have felt? He might have felt like, "Well, Lord, I'm not sure if you're going to do down there what you did up here." But God says, "I need you to go to Gaza." First point, preach through your pain. Keep listening for his leading. Then the third one, expect your fruitfulness to keep flowing. God doesn't quit. So as you know, Philip went down to Gaza, and he says in verse 27, he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. By the way, historians believe that this Ethiopian eunuch started the church, started the movement of the church in Ethiopia. And the Ethiopian church is the oldest church, Christian church, in the world. Say amen, somebody. That's a little taste of black history. Okay? So he went. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." This is so graphic. Could you just do what God says? Reverend, could you? You're not the reverend, but you know. That's how we talk. That's how we talk. Could we just do what God says? He says, "Go and stand by the chariot." Then Philip, what did he do? He ran up. What does that tell you about Philip? "To the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet." "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now listen, if you're a good Bible teacher and you read this and you study this, you can work through what he said. And, you know, he went up, he was invited up into the chair. But if you're an evangelist, if you like to share the word of God, you know how difficult it is to help somebody to understand, to help to get them to listen. Imagine the sinner telling you, "Would you please tell me the gospel?" That is wonderful. That is a blessing. That is like God said, "You have had some difficult times, Philip, but I'm going to give you some fruitful times." Philip could never have known that this Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia and laid the foundation for Christ to come to that country and to have a church that would last thousands of years. He couldn't have known that. And I might add, you don't know my story, where I've been in terms of the gospel. I'm a product of the Sunday school. I'm a product of VBS. I could never, and I promise you, church, I could never imagine that God would take us to different parts of the world, to have our relationship with young people that would get saved and that they would go out and thank me for helping them to find Christ. And I'm talking about people who become pastors. One of the brothers that came out of our church years ago, I went to his 30th anniversary. He says, "Rich, I need you to come and I need you to see your grandchildren." He has a couple of thousand members. I said, "God, it is by your grace." And by the way, good tidings, you can thank God for what you did, because this is where I got my start. I could not have imagined, nor Philip, that God would plant his feet, plant him in a chariot, lead somebody to Christ, that person go back and spread the gospel to his old country. Amen. This is the God we serve. You want to know why God takes you through those dry places? He wants to push you on and give you a story. He doesn't just want to answer your prayer. He wants to give you a story. So that when you talk to somebody on the train that you're sitting next to, and they're reading a little daily word, and you ask them, "Do you know what you're reading?" And they say something to the effect, "How could I know except somebody share it with me?" And they have access to you. They don't have access to the elders here, but you're sitting right next to them. And you could lead them to Christ, give them the simple gospel. And here's what you don't know, and this is what Philip didn't know. You don't know what they will do with what you got, what you give them. Let me end with a story. We had an event 2 weeks ago with pastors from around the country and from the Caribbean. And we asked them to give testimonies. This was not a preaching event to them, but we wanted them to understand discipleship. And we wanted them to share their testimonies. So we had this wife who shared her testimony. She says, "Well, I'm from Virginia, and I'm from the hood, to put it frankly." And she said, there was a woman there, was on the street. She was homeless. And I began to witness to her, a homeless woman. And I don't think I would do this, but she did it. She said to her husband, "I think we need to move this lady into our home for a period of time." And she did. I can't tell her what to do, and you wouldn't tell her what to do. But this young woman began to watch this lady. She says, "Well, why do you dress like that? Why do you dress like that?" And she says, "Well, because God has instructed me to be modest." She says, "That's what I want to do." She watched her. Something about models that change lives. So then she says, "Why do you get up and read the scriptures every morning?" Or she said, "What are you reading?" "So I'm reading the scriptures." She says, "Can I join you? Can I read with you?" Let me shorten the story. This woman was being discipled in real life. She moved out of the house. She got her own place. And then she began to do with other women what this woman did with her. Come on, y'all. This is powerful. She began to model before those in front of her what God was doing in her life. She was from Haiti. I think she was from Haiti. She went back to Haiti. She wasn't deported. She went back for a minute, a while, and began to minister to people in her homeland. And then she came back, and she and this lady connected, and the woman was so excited about the story she was given, but she watched a person change because she spent time with her, because God put her in the way. And I said to her, well, apparently God helped you to make a missionary. And that missionary turned around and she helps us. She had some dry places. Very, very, very dry places. But out of that dry place came a whole life that she probably didn't even know much about. And so I'm here to tell you, God will take you through some difficulties, some pain, so that he will not only answer your prayer and deliver you, but he'll give you a story to tell. Could you please tell that story? I'll bet you today God will put somebody in your way that wants to hear your story. And you may just give that person enough to just bring them over to the Lord. You may not see them again. But you don't know who's praying for them. And you become an answer to that prayer. And you bring them in. Again, let me thank you, Good Tidings, for your prayers, for your instruction. They used to call me Richie. And when anybody called me Richie, I know they came from back here. But nothing was in vain. And there are many, many, many people that would thank you if they knew about you. God bless you. Father, thank you so much that, yes, there are dry places that we go. But Lord, somehow you want to deliver us and make us incredibly fruitful. And Lord, in that fruitfulness, you will pass on your word to people who could never imagine that you could save them and use them. So Lord, I thank you. Thank you for Good Tidings Gospel Chapel. And there is some dryness here. And people feel like, well, we're not where we could be, but we are where we are. And you're using even the smallest one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.